was J. Robert Oppenheimer, head of the atomic bomb project at Los Alamos during World War II, a Soviet agent, a Soviet spy? And why does it matter? History is a set of lies agreed upon, so supposedly said by Napoleon Bonaparte. Well, the liars have certainly gotten the upper hand since Napoleon's day. Our history industry has been so successful in larding with lies virtually every popular historical source the average person consumes. History books, textbooks, novels, movies, documentaries, even Wikipedia, that the quest for truth is a daunting journey through a treacherous and confusing landscape. There are many ways of lying, of course, from outright prevarications to lying by half-truth, lying by omission, lying by context, and, in the case of photography and cinematography, lying by lens.
Tonight on the Schiffer Report, we'll be analyzing the Christopher Nolan movie, Oppenheimer. The title of tonight's broadcast, Oppenheimer, Soviet Spy.
If you're tired of fake news and leftist propaganda, then you've come to the right place. It's time for the Schiffer Report with the radio journalist, author, and political analyst, Paul Schiffer.
They told us the protests in the summer of 2020 were peaceful. Got $1 billion worth of damage around our cities that says it wasn't. They told us the FBI didn't spy on the Trump campaign. Sure looks like it did. They told us the vaccinated can't get it. You know that's wrong.
You heroes have killed a dozen people this week. What are you going to do next week?
We cannot afford to be so politically correct anymore. We will honor the American people with the truth and nothing else.
Is it just me, or is it getting crazier out there?
I may sound like a Bible beater, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other.
We will not live our lives in fear.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
Live from WHKW, your host, Paul Schiffer.
The world will remember this day.
5.
I'll work here.
4.
We'll ensure a peace mankind has never seen.
3. 2.
Until somebody builds a bigger one.
1.
We imagine a future. And our imaginings horrify us.
You are the man who gave them the power to destroy themselves. And the world is not prepared.
The Russians have a bomb. We're supposed to be years ahead of them, but data indicates it may have been a plutonium implosion device.
Like the one you built at Los Alamos.
There were rumors of espionage.
Unsubstantiated.
At Los Alamos.
There's no proof there was a spy at Los Alamos.
Tonight on the broadcast, we're going to do more than just a movie review of the movie Oppenheimer. We're going to go into detail about some of the brilliant deceptions in the movie. I basically call Oppenheimer movie a dishonest masterpiece. But this show tonight is not a movie review like a usual one, at least not in the usual sense. It is not concerned with the production's artistic merits or lack thereof. It's an attempt at justice to right a terrible wrong, a series of wrongs actually at the heart of and throughout this thoroughly dishonest film. Dishonest? How so? For starters, although ostensibly about Oppenheimer and the race for the atom bomb, it quickly becomes apparent that Oppenheimer is above all a political statement, not merely entertainment. It is a morality tale that serves as a vehicle to portray J. Robert Oppenheimer as a hero and martyr who was ruthlessly persecuted and falsely charged with being a communist merely for being an independent thinker and for merely associating with communists. Even broader, his brother, wife, friends, and colleagues who were all communists or fellow travelers are also presented just as tragic heroes, martyrs, victims in an era of madness dominated by Senator Joseph McCarthy and J. Edgar Hoover. At the same time, all of those who show any alarm about putting communists into the center of our super-secret A-bomb project are depicted in the movie by the director Christopher Nolan as idiots. On tonight's show, we have a very special guest, an expert beyond all experts on the subject of Oppenheimer. He's also got a website called usasurvival.org. He used to work for Accuracy in Media. He's been a writer, an activist, and public speaker since the late 70s. I bring to you Cliff Kincaid, who just wrote this masterful 24-page article called Hollywood's Whitewash of a Communist Spy and the Infiltration of America's Nuclear Labs. Welcome to the show, Cliff.
Paul, great to be with you again.
Well, let's go right off. You point out the truth, and there's a lot of it. And the people, I sat there, I watched the movie, I know you did. My first thoughts were I was amazed that they, about half the movie, talked about the communists that surrounded Oppenheimer. It starts out with a party attended by his sister and his brother, and they're all communists. But all through the movie, they try to portray him as just as a fellow traveler who had leanings, but he cared about fighting the Nazis. That's why he wanted to bomb. He had no real communist affiliation. You're going to set the record straight tonight. Go ahead.
It's an amazing story. I think, Paul, when you analyze the significance of this film and look into the additional problem that I deal with in this report, that is not just past, not just history, not just what the Soviets did, but what the Chinese communists are doing today by infiltrating our nuclear labs. This is the biggest Biden scandal yet. Because when I began to do an analysis, I went into it. You mentioned it's 24 pages. It's about 8,000 words. I could have done even more. I had to go back in history. What we're talking about here is not just, you know, $10 or $20 million through some bank accounts making Hunter Biden and his family rich. We're dealing with the utmost, most important state secrets of the United States, which were stolen by Oppenheimer. He was not only a communist, he was a Soviet spy, he was a Stalinist, but similar secrets are being stolen today by the Chinese communists, who you've read my report, you know I have the documents here, who have been infiltrating our nuclear labs in the same way the Soviets did back during World War II. It's just that now they're doing it openly with the acquiescence and support of our Western elites, to the extent that the Chinese communists are building up their own nuclear arsenal, and together with Russia, of course, will one day have the ability to literally destroy the United States, killing tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people. And it's all happening right before our eyes right now.
One of the proofs that you have of Oppenheimer being a communist and a Soviet spy during that time, World War II, when he was working on directing the project to build the bomb at Los Alamos, you said that recently Senator McCarthy, his top secret papers held secret for over 50 years, they've been released, and they name Oppenheimer as a Communist Party member. And one of the snippets of the testimony that Senator McCarthy gave in 1953 took place on Capitol Hill, and he took the testimony of one Paul Crouch, a longtime member of the Communist Party USA. That's a very significant snippet in history. Tell us about that event.
This is one piece of the evidence. We have, and you made the important point, when we go and see the Oppenheimer movie, And it's 3 hours long. A lot of people have seen it. It's making hundreds of millions of dollars. They tell us, Christopher Nolan does, the director, that Oppenheimer was surrounded by communists. Yeah. There was a communist, Klaus Fuchs from Britain, who was a Soviet spy in the Manhattan Project, the atom bomb project at Los Alamos. Yeah, there were a bunch of communists there, but no, Oppenheimer never crossed the line. He was, he was always a patriotic American. Yeah, he had communist associations, but he never crossed the line. Well, the Paul Crouch testimony is just one piece of the evidence that indeed he was a member of the Communist Party, not only before the Hitler-Stalin Pact, but afterward. He was a communist all the time, sometimes on a secret basis. And it's not just Paul Crouch. We've got a former KGB general, Pseudo Platov, who testified about Oppenheimer and other scientists at Los Alamos giving the Russians the atomic bomb secret, to the point where just 4 years after we detonated the nuclear bomb and then dropped a couple on Japan, 4 years later, the Soviets detonated their own bomb, which was exactly modeled after ours.
You know, based on all of the documentation you have in this 24-page article, and by the way, if people want to get this, you need to go to usasurvival.org or americasurvival.org. And that's right there now, front and center. But you've got to give a donation. Tell how people can get this, because I think it's a very, very important document that not only talks about the duplicitous dealings of Oppenheimer and the communists that he was surrounded there at Los Alamos, but all the lies he told certain committees in the 50s and 60s. But you also go into the history of the Chinese stealing in Los Alamos, all of our nuclear secrets. How can people get a hold of this document?
Yes, I'm offering this 24-page report, like I say, 8,000 or 9,000 words, for a donation. And I have to do that because, frankly, we need the support. America's Survival is not getting any big grants. In fact, not getting any grants from any big conservative foundations. We have to rely on people to contribute. We're a nonprofit 501c3. Now, I don't get a salary. All the money we get, if people want to donate and get a copy of this report, will go into more educational efforts. And I'm going to continue on this Oppenheimer issue for many reasons. People can go to usasurvival.org. You can see how you can go to a secure financial donation page and help us out. The reason it's so important is not only because of what happened 50 years ago, but or I should say 70 years ago, but because of what's happening now. The Chinese communists are doing in Los Alamos, more or less openly, what the Soviets did secretly. And we've got the documents, you've read the report, to prove that there are literally hundreds of Chinese scientists who are going to Los Alamos working on top secret weapons projects, ostensibly for the United States. And they're all going back to China to work on their atom bomb project, developing new warheads, hypersonic missiles, other military hardware. And then to top it off, here's one thing I did that I report on. Because I'm here in the D.C. area, about a week ago, in preparation for this report, Paul, I went to the NSA Museum.
Okay.
And now the NSA, as you know, is the premier spy agency of the U.S. This is the group that actually broke what's called the Venona transcripts, intercepted Soviet communications back during World War II, proving, this is one more piece of the evidence, that Oppenheimer was not only a communist, a member of a secret communist network, but a Soviet spy. And the NSA knows this. And yet I went to their museum a week and a half ago, and they have a new display out, undoubtedly taking advantage of the Oppenheimer movie excitement, completely whitewashing this communist spy and insisting that he was mistreated when the Atomic Energy Commission Personnel Security Review Committee withdrew his security clearance. And by the way, this brings it up to date because under Joe Biden, his energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm, supposedly to correct this horrible wrong, has posthumously reinstated Oppenheimer's security clearance, saying he was a patriot after all and a loyal American. This is all coming, and we can expect it from the Biden administration, this treasonous activity, but coming from the NSA itself in its own museum.
That's really deplorable. Another thing I want to point out, that we've got to admit this, the movie is brilliantly done, but very deceptive and very dishonest. It is, as writer Bruce Bauer wrote recently for Front Page Mag, Oppenheimer is a dishonest masterpiece. The acting is superb. My favorite character in this otherwise great movie is Robert Downey Jr., who played a conservative who was going after Oppenheimer and knew everything about him. But at the end of the movie, towards the end, I'm not giving anything away here, they made him look like he was a right-wing nutcase at the end. Robert Downey Jr. was freaking out that he couldn't get at Oppenheimer and started yelling and screaming in his office. Remember that scene? Just, it's unbelievable. And I'm thinking, you know, at first I was surprised sitting in the theater that this movie dared to show all of his communist associates and all the communists surrounded him. And I thought, there's got to be a catch here. And sure enough, as the movie progressed and toward the end, I got what they were saying. It seems like their new gig, the liberals, the dishonest Biden administration, everybody, their new thing is to not ignore the communists that surrounded him, but to downplay it. Your thoughts?
That's part of it. What they're trying to suggest is that although they are withholding the facts that I described that are in my report about his membership in the party, they're trying to sort of imply that, well, even though he was associated with these people, he was still a patriotic American. And that, in fact, is what Jennifer Granholm, the Energy Department secretary, basically said when she reinstated his security clearance, of course, years after his death. They're trying to rehabilitate this guy. And this is important to understand because, look, I like Christopher Nolan as a director. I like his Batman movies.
Me too.
But he was duped by people associated with The Nation magazine. This movie is based on a book about Oppenheimer, co-written by Kai Bird, who's a longtime associate of The Nation magazine. This is a far-left magazine that still believes that Alger Hiss was innocent. This is where they're coming from. And they try to deny that these people were communists, but then they imply that, well, even if they were still patriots. And that is generating this idea that we have nothing to fear from the communists in China or anywhere else. We can work with them. And of course, they're stealing everything. They're stealing our weapons. And we know that from the Cox Commission report from the year 2000, they've stolen out of Los Alamos, this is documented, our most advanced nuclear weapons designs. But because the FBI botched the case of Wen Ho Lee, nailing him only for one felony when he, quote, mishandled classified information, we don't know the extent of it. And on top of that, our government still invites these Chinese scientists over to Los Alamos to work on these projects, and then they go back to China to help China produce more bombs, basically at our expense.
You're listening to the Schiffer Report. My special guest tonight for the entire show until about 8 o'clock is Washington, D.C. insider excellent reporter, Cliff Kincaid. He's written extensively about communism and the communist threat for many, many decades from our nation's capital. And he has also thrown events at the National Press Club, at least three or four a year, going back many decades. I've been to quite a few of them. You do a tremendous job with that. If you'd like to ask a question to Cliff, feel free to call us now at 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. Cliff, in your new 24-page document, Hollywood's Whitewash of a Communist Spy and the Infiltration of America's Nuclear Labs, let me just read a very revealing paragraph. You said, the so-called smoking gun document proving that Oppenheimer was a communist consists of a Russian memorandum from NKVD that was prior to the KGB, the NKVD director, V.N. Mikhurlov, dated February 1944 and addressed to Joseph Stalin's intelligence chief, Lavrenty Beria. It refers to Oppenheimer being a secret member of the Communist Party and its espionage apparatus. It states, in 1942, one of the leaders of scientific work on uranium in the U.S., Professor Oppenheimer, while being an unlisted member of the apparatus of the Comrade Bowder, informed us about the beginning of work. The NKVD was the forerunner to the KGB. You said that, quoting this article, Robin Oppenheimer's longtime membership in the Communist Party, the United States was made secret in 1942 because it was being used as a Soviet intelligence asset by the Communist Underground to help obtain atomic secrets, notes Gerald and Lenona Schechter, authors of Sacred Secrets, How Soviet Intelligence Operations Changed American History. Go into that and other forms of proof that you have.
These are additional pieces of evidence. We've not only got the memorandum you referred to, we've got the Schechters who wrote with former KGB Colonel Pseudo-Platov about how he admitted Oppenheimer and others, including scientist Leo Szilard at Los Alamos, were supplying the Soviets with the secret information. And again, we know all this. I mean, the NSA in general, which broke the Venona scandal wide open, and in 1995, 1996, all those transcripts from World War II were released. These, in addition, identify Oppenheimer as a Soviet spy. There's so many pieces of evidence, Paul. You see them in the report. It's beyond dispute. And the question becomes, why are they rehabilitating Oppenheimer? There are several reasons for that. They're trying to make communism less of an enemy, make it seem like you can be patriotic and be a communist. And again, bringing it up to date, even though there's some people raising alarms about it, the Chinese communists aren't really a threat, even though they've got, as I cite in the report, they've had 160 scientists working at Los Alamos. Can you believe that? I mean, this is, again, I repeat this for your audience. What the Soviets did at Los Alamos, secretly, through people like Oppenheimer, with their underground apparatus, the Chinese communists are doing openly, with the cooperation of the Western elites. One of the great quotes in my report is from the great Soviet dissident Vladimir Bukovsky, who wrote a great book called Judgment in Moscow. And he says the reason this happens is because the Western elites who still run the United States, who are operating through Joe Biden, want to work with the communists. In effect, they are pro-communist. They don't see any threat from Russia. They really don't. They don't see any threat from the communist Chinese. In fact, they want the American system to more resemble a communist system, and they're prepared to sell us out even giving the Russians and the Chinese access to our most sensitive state secrets.
Hold your thought, Cliff. We've got to slide into a quick commercial break. When we come back, I'll continue my interview with Cliff Kincaid, head of the organization America's Survival, Inc. Also, their website is usasurvival.org. Go to the website now and make a donation and pick up a copy of this explosive report called Hollywood's Whitewash of a Communist Spy and the Infiltration of America's Nuclear Labs. We'll be right back.
The Schiffer Report brings you the hard-hitting, unapologetic facts that the big media companies don't want you to know. And in order to do so, we are entirely listener-supported. To help keep the Schiffer Report on air, please consider making a donation via check to Paul Schiffer at 2434 Whipple Avenue Northwest, Apartment Number 1 in Canton, Ohio, 44708. Or call Paul at 216-276-8257 to sponsor your small business, product, or service on the show. Help fight the misinformed mainstream media. Keep the Schiffer Report on air.
If you like the Schiffer Report, and I know you do, then check out Understanding the Times, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. on 1220. Hi, I'm Mike Fodor, your friendly host. We're live in studio, call-in talk show that brings the five C's of conversation and topics. Cutting edge, controversial, conspiratorial, conservative, and Christian. Visit our website, ZornDoveMinistries.com. We have 100-plus podcasts in 15 categories, such as cultural causes, history, current events and prophecy, and much more. And listen live Wednesdays, 8 p.m.
In a world full of entertainers walking on eggshells and other media companies airing whatever message will make them the almighty dollar, StylesRebelRadio.com is a group of free content creators specializing in podcasts, articles, interviews, and more. Everything from conspiracy theories involving JFK and artificial intelligence to local up-and-coming musicians and blogs that take life a little less seriously. StylesRebelRadio.com is your one-stop destination for a wide variety of all entertainment all the time. All content may not be suitable for all ages. StylesRebelRadio.com, all rights reserved. Style here, back on the Schiffer Report. And before we dive back into just unearthing who J. Robert Oppenheimer really was and the deception that the media is leading us onto, I'd like to take a minute to remind everybody that we are entirely listener-supported. We don't have these deceptive big media companies in our pockets because we don't put out the message that they want you to hear. We put out the truth, the conservative Christian truth, and that's what we intend to keep on doing here. But in order to do that, we have to get funding in, and again, we are entirely listener support, and we try to make that as easy as possible. So if you go to theschifferreport.com, there is a donate tab right there. It takes us right to your Give, Send, Go account, where you can donate any amount you see fit or leave a prayer for the show as well. In addition to that, we've also launched a shop, so you can get Schiffer Report t-shirts, cubs, mugs, all kinds of cool merchandise. And again, any support is very much welcomed and helps us keep putting out the real, true side of media.
Thank you, Style. Well done. And also, my address to send a donation by mail is Paul Schiffer, that's spelled S-C-H-I-F-F-E-R. Send a check to Paul Schiffer. My address is 2434 Whipple Avenue Northwest. That's 2434 Whipple Avenue Northwest, Apartment 1, Whipple spelled W-H-I-P-P-L-E, Apartment 1, Canton, Ohio, 44708. Right after the commercial break, Style played a clip from the movie with Oppenheimer saying that now famous line, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds," referencing the atom bomb. The film has him quoting the line from that Hindu scripture, demonic scripture, that is supposed to sum up the power of nuclear weapons. Cliff Kincaid, my guest tonight, in his new piece called Hollywood's Whitewash of the Communist Spy, writes this: but viewed in the context of what we now know about Oppenheimer's embrace of communist ideology, the frightening Hindu scripture cited by Oppenheimer could also apply to the power of the idea of international communism. This ideology of hate and destruction and terror fascinated and captured the imagination of Oppenheimer and his comrades and has taken the lives worldwide of over 100 million people. Back to you, Cliff. Go ahead.
It's true. And here's another thing. And I cover this in the report. Nolan suggests, and he's appeared on various shows, that is Christopher Nolan, the director, saying, oh, Oppenheimer was motivated to construct the nuclear bomb because he feared the Nazis were going to get it. And he wanted to use the nuclear bomb to destroy Nazis. And of course, Oppenheimer was Jewish by birth. And you could certainly understand why Jews in particular and people in general would want to stop the Nazis. I mean, our great American fighting men and women were deployed and hundreds of thousands were killed and wounded to stop the Nazis. But Oppenheimer was not a practicing Jew. He was an atheist. He was a communist atheist. And I repeat, this is very important to understand. He was a secret member of the Communist Party before and after the Hitler-Stalin Pact. So it wasn't just he was motivated to develop a weapon to kill Nazis. He was motivated to develop a weapon that he then gave to the Soviet Union so it could build up the power of international communism. And we know what's happened since then. Like I say, 4 years after we detonated our bomb because of Oppenheimer and his comrades, the Soviets detonated theirs. And it was an exact copy, to no one's surprise now, of what he and his comrades had developed in the Manhattan Project. One more thing, Paul, that's important to realize is the Nazis never developed an atomic bomb. And we detonated our bomb after the Nazis were defeated.
Right.
We could have come out of World War II with a monopoly on nuclear weapons. Think about what that could have done for the world.
You know, there would have been no Cold War then if Oppenheimer didn't release the secrets to the atom bomb to the Soviets, where they began building. And you know, the Soviet Union, it was pure evil, terroristic nation, and they rained havoc across Eastern Europe. Stalin, yeah, after FDR sold out Eastern Europe and Central Europe, he slaughtered millions of people. But with the asset of having the bomb, if Oppenheimer wasn't the traitor he was and didn't give away the bomb, the Soviets wouldn't have had it for at least 10, 20 years, and we could have built up our superiority, and back then we were a moral, decent, godly nation, and we could have prevented a Cold War from happening. Instead, we got the Korean War, where thousands of Americans were slaughtered, the Vietnam War, where thousands of Americans were captured, POWs slaughtered, on and on I could go. None of this needed to happen, but Oppenheimer facilitated this tragedy. I've got one question here for you. I don't think you mentioned your article here, your excellent article, but we keep hearing about, or did before, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, that they sold us out. They had the bomb. But the way I look at it, it's Oppenheimer that did all the damage. The Rosenbergs, I think, might have been scapegoats. What do you think?
I think the Rosenbergs were guilty as hell, but they were only one part,
yeah,
of the Soviet spy ring. This is incredible. Paul, we still to this day don't know how many spies the Soviets had in the Manhattan Project. We know the big ones, and we know they were the Rosenbergs, Oppenheimer, Szilard, Fermi. I mean, I list them all, but we still haven't even gotten to the bottom of that. And meanwhile, it, right in front of our eyes, while we are preoccupied with the Russians and the Chinese giving Hunter and Joe Biden millions of dollars, which is a corrupt scandal, which needs to be exposed, we've got our own Los Alamos nuclear lab and others facilitating the transfer to the communist Chinese of our most advanced nuclear weapons systems at the current time. So the way history is now going, and by the way, it's because we didn't have that monopoly after World War II that the Soviets then not only started the Korean War, Vietnam, they helped bring the Chinese communists to power. Many people don't know this. I have it at the end of my report. The founder of the Chinese Communist Party was, in fact, a Soviet agent. And one of the sons of the founder of North Korea was actually born in communist Russia. Russia's behind all of this, too, still to this day. And yet here we are, the United States, basically sanctioning this treason that's ongoing. And yet we're preoccupied with talking about millions of dollars to Hunter and Joe. That's a scandal, all right, but it's small compared with the fact that the Chinese communists and the Russians have the ability very soon to be able to destroy our whole country and basically wipe off the face of the earth hundreds of millions of Americans.
You give a scary statistic in this new 24-page report of yours, Hollywood's whitewash of the communist spy infiltration of Americans' nuclear labs. You point out, well, you give the stats out. The Chinese and the Russians, when you combine the two, they dominate us as far as nuclear weapons go and hypersonic missiles and everything else. Give those scary statistics, if you will.
They dominate us not only with the number of nuclear warheads, but, of course, I didn't even factor into that, and all the statistics are there. I didn't factor into it the North Korean nuclear weapons program. The North Koreans are quickly, with the support of China and Russia, developing their own fleet of nuclear ICBMs that can also strike the United States. And yet, what have we done? The United States no longer tests new nuclear weapons. Under Obama, the Senate ratified a so-called New START treaty to limit what we could deploy. We are getting to the point where, as I say, we're vulnerable to a communist first strike nuclear attack, and we wouldn't be able to deter it. We wouldn't be able to survive that onslaught. And even if you think, oh, the communists in Russia and China would never do this, think about the blackmail material they already have. Perhaps the blackmail in the form of nuclear attack or potential nuclear attack helps explain why Joe and Hunter have been selling out our country.
You've got a point there. I lean towards that belief. There are some heroes, though, in your report here who exposed the truth about Oppenheimer 20, 30 years ago. You refer to a great conservative author, M. Stanton Ebbins, and his friend Herbert Romerstein, a conservative Jew, okay, because everybody talks about Oppenheimer and his Jewish sensitivities, but one of the heroes of this story is Herbert Romerstein, and together they wrote a book called Stalin's Secret Agents, The Subversion of Roosevelt's Government. Oppenheimer is routinely depicted in histories of World War II and the aftermath as a martyr, ignoring the evidence of his Communist Party membership and false testimony about it. Talk about Herbert Romerstein. He passed away about 15 years ago. God bless his soul. And you knew him personally. I met him quite a few times. I've interviewed him quite a few times. Talk about what Herbert Romerstein knew about Oppenheimer.
Herb Romerstein was a giant. He was an encyclopedia of knowledge about communism. Herb actually began as a communist in a communist youth group. He basically defected. He became an expert on the communist menace. He co-wrote this great book with Eric Brendel, which I cite repeatedly in my report, called The Venona Secrets, based on what the NSA had uncovered between Moscow and their agents in the United States. M. Stanton Evans, another great guy. I started out in Washington, D.C. in a journalism program that he ran. I consider him, I consider Herb, I consider Alan Riskin of Human Events, who appeared at one of our conferences on Hollywood Reds, to be my mentors, along with Reed Irvine, founder of Accuracy in Media. That's where, really, I give them a lot of credit for getting me on this path, Paul, to understand the communist menace and to continue my own research.
You've done an excellent job with it. That's why I'd like to put you on. Whenever it comes to topics like this, you're the expert of experts on this. And, of course, you're close friends with two other experts, Trevor Loudon and J.R. Nyquist. I think combined, you three, I basically know I'm getting what I need to know about the global communist threat if I just go to you or Trevor or J.R. Nyquist, and I feel you guys are mentors to me. I'm just a radio guy, but I read a lot. I just put myself into this stuff for decades, and I tell you what, I'm alarmed. I'm frightened by what I see, and you're absolutely right. If we don't wake up soon, we're gone. It's hopeless. And then you look at the immorality in this country, the transgender issue, and pervasive homosexuality, abortion on demand still. God help us. We need more people like you standing up against this. Let's go into the Venona Secrets a little bit, written by Herb Romerstein and his co-author. Talk about the proof you have that Oppenheimer had a Soviet code name. They referred to him as something. Go into detail about that.
Yes. The Venona Secrets, of course, are the intercepted Soviet communications that were decoded by people at what we now call the NSA, the National Security Agency.
Right.
At that time, the NSA was a great patriotic anti-communist organization. As I say, under Biden, it's now whitewashing Oppenheimer. Completely misleading the public through their own museum in Maryland, which, as I say, I just went to about a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
It's shocking. It's just outrageous. But one of the Venona messages includes and has been referred to in Herb's book, referring to Oppenheimer by the code name Bexel. And all of them, all these Soviet agents had code names. And because the NSA was able to decode everything, we know who these agents are. But as I say, even to this late date, we don't know all the names of all the communist spies at Venona. But Herb goes into Oppenheimer in detail. And by the way, another thing I mentioned in my report is when I was at Accuracy in Media, I worked with Notre Trulock, who was the intelligence chief at the Department of Energy back under Clinton.
That'd be 1999, correct?
Yes, and who uncovered the Wen Ho Lee scandal.
Yeah.
Like I say, Wen Ho Lee only pled guilty to one charge, a felony of mishandling classified information. But I have the evidence in there from the FBI director at the time, even Clinton's attorney general, that what he did was far more serious than just a few months in jail. And that set the stage for why, in my view, we haven't gotten to the bottom of this. Because anytime you raise a suspicion about a Chinese-American scientist at Los Alamos, you're accused of racism. Just in the same way that anybody who accuses Oppenheimer of anything is accused of McCarthyism. But it was McCarthy, one piece of the puzzle,
right,
took the testimony from the Communist Party member identifying Oppenheimer as a member.
Back in 1953.
Yep.
Let's go to one more item here. We'll try to cover as much as we have in 7-8 minutes we have left. You're doing a great job, Cliff. I love having you on. This report is one of the best reports I've read exposing things of this nature. On page 9 of your new report, you right, the hard proof that Oppenheimer supplied secret information to the Soviets didn't come until Soviet KGB Lieutenant General Pavel Sudoplatov revealed in his book Special Tasks that one of the critical sources of information for the Soviets was Oppenheimer. He said, we received reports on the progress of the Manhattan Project from J. Robert Oppenheimer and his friends Niels Bohr, Enrico Fermi, and Leo Szilard in oral form. Tell us about corporately the treason those guys did.
Sudoplatov's book, Special Tasks, is a great resource. It confirms everything else we know about Oppenheimer, but also adds in these other characters, and they're important too, because, for example, Leo Szilard, one of the scientists at Manhattan, at the Manhattan Project, went on to help launch a group. In fact, he founded a group called the Council for a Livable World, and this is where they're going with all of this, and this is why they want to diminish the power of the United States. They eventually want to get the communist world so powerful that they think we will then be intimidated to turn all of our nuclear weapons over to the United Nations. And we're going to let the UN manage the nuclear arsenals of the world. And Leo Szilard's group, the Council for a Livable World, is dedicated to that.
And they got Biden his start in politics back in 1972.
Well, isn't that interesting? That's where I was going with this, because Joe Biden... In fact, I have reproduced in the report a letter he sent to the Council for a Livable World, thanking them for initially supporting his run for the Senate. And Biden is the same guy who, when he was in the Senate, was pushing all these United Nations schemes, like the Law of the Sea Treaty. My group fought him very strongly on that. And it was Biden who actually wrote for the Wall Street Journal an article, a column under his own name called How I Learned to Love the New World Order.
Look at folks, you need to go to Cliff Kincaid's website now or tomorrow and make a donation. Go to his website, usasurvival.org. That's usasurvival.org. I think you can also get there by typing in, I usually do, America's Survival. And when you come to this story that's front and center, his new 24-page report, Hollywood's Whitewash of a Communist Spy and the Infiltration of America's Nuclear Labs, make a donation, get a copy of this. Cliff sent me a copy of this a couple days ago. I appreciate it. This is very important work here. It needs to be said, because it all ties in to what's happening now. It's not just a story about what happened during World War II. It's about what's happening now at Los Alamos. And Oppenheimer was the kingpin. And that's the shame of it all. That's the disturbing part of all of this, that movie was a masterpiece, but it's a dishonest masterpiece and doesn't expose what we're exposing today. What a shame. And I'll add, too, I was disgusted by the fact the only flaw I saw other than content was that it's rated R and they had some scenes in there that didn't need to be in there. But I say that as a caveat in case a Christian goes to see it and they're shocked by what they see. Cliff?
Well, that's right, because they show one of the scenes is Oppenheimer and his mistress sitting there in the nude after having sex.
Yeah.
And he was just sitting there smoking. He was a chain smoker. He died of throat cancer in 1967.
He was an adulterer.
He was an adulterer. He was a weird guy. I say it in my report, in addition to being a communist. He was a weird guy. He studied the Hindu scriptures. That's where we got that quote earlier. Mm-hmm. But he was a communist, atheist. He didn't believe in Judaism, even though he's portrayed as some poor Jew who feared the Nazis. No, he didn't even practice that. that.
We only have about 3.5 minutes left. I want you to get to something else that's on your website, in case people want to know why we aren't talking about all these special prosecutors going after Trump. In your on your website, just scroll down a little bit more. You have this article you wrote a couple days ago, the UN lawyer prosecuting Trump. Tell us a little bit about special counsel Jack Smith, who's going hot and heavy after Trump.
A lot of the conservatives in the media are criticizing Smith for his indictments, and I agree with that criticism, but they're missing the main point, which is that this guy had left the Justice Department and was a lawyer for the illegitimate and illegal International Criminal Court in The Hague, where he was prosecuting other people for, quote, war crimes and genocide and all the rest of it. How he got away with that and came back and became a special counsel against Trump is something we ought to talk about. This guy is a global lawyer affiliated with the UN. And I submit, this is what I talk about in my column that's available, is that I think eventually with this, they're going to have the United Nations come after Trump. And they're going to have the United Nations and its International Criminal Court come after the United States, our country as a whole, on charges of slavery and mistreatment of blacks and racism, and on that basis demand $14 trillion in reparations.
Listen, we've got less than 2 minutes left, Cliff. Thanks for joining us tonight. I might add, I'm going to strongly encourage my listening audience to go to your website, usasurvival.org, and go to this front and center article, newly posted 24-page bombshell report, Hollywood's whitewash of a communist spy and the infiltration of America's nuclear labs, also the subtitle, Oppenheimer was a Soviet spy. And also this show will be posted tonight on my website, theschifferreport.com, for those people who want to go to it again, theschifferreport.com. And thanks for joining us tonight.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks very much, Paul.
Thanks a lot. God bless you. Have a good night. Have a good weekend, Cliff. One more thing. I have two articles here that are for free. We'll post it on the website tonight. Oppenheimer, a dishonest masterpiece, posted recently in Front Page Mag. And then another excellent article from William F. Jasper that was on the New American website. The real Oppenheimer, the conspiracy, the treason, the truth, the New American. We'll post both of these articles on the website. Remember to go to Cliff Kincaid's site, usasurvival.org, and give a donation to me. Either mail one or go to Give, Send, Go on my website, theschifferreport.com. Give, Send, Go. Do you want to say anything in conclusion, Style?
I just think this episode was a perfect example of why small media and real media like this deserves the funding it does.
Yeah, definitely. God bless everybody. Stay close to God in the faith, and we'll be back next Thursday.
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit Stop.
The Schiffer Report with host Paul Schiffer. You'll hear insightful analysis of the news and interviews with the top conservative thinkers from across America. Paul Schiffer brings decades of public policy experience to the microphone, along with an uncompromising commitment to the conservative Christian principles that make this nation great.
The preceding program is sponsored by Paul Schiffer.